Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz _ radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it, Hail Varsity Radio on the road again down here at Longwell's. Real Red tip-off ahead of Nebraska and Ohio State here till 6, tip-off at 8, and I want to see you down here winding down the home basketball schedule for Coach Hoiberg Season 1 and the Big Red. Does the streak stop tonight? I don't know. We'll see. Ohio State's pretty talented squad coming in. We'll see if Nebraska can muster enough for a W. It's been too darn long. We'll spend some time and get into some football thoughts. Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine, going to be with us in this first hour. Some NFL thoughts as the NFL Combine in full swing right now. And in hour two, back to football with Husker Hall of Famer, multiple national champion, and a guy that could throw a block and find the end zone, Joel Makavica. He'll put his putter down and spend a few minutes with us. Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame basketball coach, will preview some of the district action in prep sports this weekend and some Husker hoop thoughts from Jeff Smith. And then the pride of Chicago is Danny Burke, and Burke's best bets at 5:40. We'll get Danny's thoughts on some of the action tonight around the college basketball and NBA world. Get in at 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Give me a follow on Twitter, Chris Schmidt at Schmidt _ radio. As always, give Damon Barr a follow at Damon Barr with two R's. At least get a rum recommendation from Damon Barr. You may need the live chicken. You may need some rum for Joe Boo to stop this losing streak. We'll hear from Fred Hoiberg in a moment. The news of the day is about special teams, as Hail Varsity confirming and reported by media partner 1011. Barrett Pickering is no longer part of the Nebraska football team. He is leaving Nebraska football for health reasons. And you look at what Pickering did at Nebraska, an Alabama native. 12 games is where he started in 2018. He had an off-season hip injury that just kind of kept him to only four games in 2019. He did redshirt last year. And you know what? When you look at kicking in Nebraska football, I mean, it has been a taken for granted position for Nebraska over the years. And I think back not only to the field goal kicking, but also the punting. And you had a run of incredible kickers from Chris to Josh Brown. From a punting standpoint, you had Jesse Cush and Kyle Larson, and Sammy Cook is still killing it in the NFL. And then, oh, by the way, let's get greatness in Alex Henry when it comes to blasting him from 57 yards or wherever he wanted to hit. Alex Henry for a lot of years, Brett Maher, incredible, and, of course, the late, great, incredible Sam Fultz. So I just rattled off guys that were all conference, guys that have spent or are in the NFL. And he had a lot of years with Chris Brown as a place kicker. Josh Brown, a ton of years in the NFL, as well as a field goal kicker. And Maher did, had some inconsistency, but was darn good enough to get a starting gig and win a gig, not only up north, but also for Dallas for a lot of this year. And I bet you money Maher will find his way onto a roster and be kicking next year. So I laid out all the things you didn't have to worry about over the last 15 years when it came to kicking for Nebraska. You worried about it last year, and it bit Nebraska. Amazing stat from Mitch Sherman, our friend from The Athletic. 66 kickoffs. I'm not talking field goals. I'm not talking punting. I'm talking kickoffs. 66 kickoffs for Nebraska football. Only 14 were touchbacks. Two of those, I don't need to say it, but Iowa is still dancing in the end zone. Wisconsin still dancing in the end zone in momentum-swinging, soul-crushing kickoff returns. So what does Nebraska do? Well, they don't have Barrett Pickering anymore. And I'll remember him drilling one somehow, some way through the snow against Michigan State his first season. Now, last year with this hip issue with Pickering, just 3 for 5 on field goals, as long of 47, make that long of 30. And when it came to kickoffs, Nebraska's got to find some dude that can get it into and out of the end zone. I don't care who it is, but if you're a Nebraska fan, that's a priority, just so you don't get stung or burnt. Same with punting. Nebraska's punting has been an issue the last 3 years. Can it get better? Kickoffs, I mean, teams averaged, and Brandon Vogel's all over this starting field position, teams averaged around the 41-yard line, okay, for Nebraska. Who are your candidates to make things a little bit more soothing for you? And spring will be key to figure out who that is. You've got Chase Contreras. He's the Iowa Western Community College All-American. He's a favorite to win the job. 15-18 last year and was a JUCO All-American. Nebraska's also been shopping. You've got the walk-on Tyler Crawford. He's out of Oklahoma. You have redshirt freshman Gabe Hines and Matt Waldock. I thought he hit the ball well, but you just saw too many instances last year with whoever was kicking where you had an issue with either confidence or execution, and one probably played into the other. So Nebraska needs to solidify, stabilize the kicking question mark. And I think Contreras, you don't go out and get a guy like that if you've got some on the roster, unless you don't like what is on the roster. And if it's a health issue with Pickering, like he says it is, you know what, good luck, Godspeed, and get better. Find a spot to keep kicking, or just do you and do school, dude, and just get healthy. I don't know the extent of his injury, if it's one of those career-ending things, as in from an effectiveness standpoint. Clearly, he was not as effective this year post-injury as to his freshman year. Kicking's so mental. It is, man. It's the two-foot putt. If you're trying to birdie or par, or for me, double bogey, it's the free throw with waning seconds left. It's at the diamond trying to protect on a 3-2 count, and it's getting into position where you have one job to do. It sounds very cold, but it's very accurate. It's one job, and that's go split the uprights in high pressure, big time moments. And the third phase for Nebraska football has been severely lacking. Kicking has been an issue. Pristop is the transfer from Michigan State. What can he do from a punting standpoint? Can Nebraska find a guy that is good enough to not only get some hang time, but get some direction with their kick? That's what I'm interested in. So that's something I think we all have circled for Nebraska as we're 11 days out from spring football. But no Pickering. Best wishes to him. We'll see if Contreras can take the reins, move forward, and be a difference maker for Nebraska football when it comes to kicking. Offensively, offensive line, quarterback spot, those are some topics of conversation. Lubick and how he starts to gel on offense with Scott Frost. What do you replace defensively is important for Nebraska football. So all those things we can talk about as we get closer to spring ball. When I look at Nebraska, and I think of some of these storylines moving into the 2020 spring football season, you know that I think Nebraska has, and we'll spend some more time with this with Brandon Vogel, Nebraska is going to be pretty blessed with options in the secondary. You lose Lamar, but you got guys and a really good position coach where DiCaprio Boodle is so veteran. You have Deontay Williams that's hungry after injury. He's a ball hawk. He's a playmaker. Got to get him healthy. You've got Cam Taylor-Britt you can move around. Leadership's important. Culture taking hold. And I don't want you to roll your eyes at me when I say that, but it's year three and it should be better. We've mentioned the kickoff situation, and you have the new analyst in Rutledge. Can he fit? You know, to what extent are special teams fixed? And if you're going with a guy you feel good about and that can be better for you in Contreras, maybe that is something you don't have to worry about. You just check and say, okay, I think we're good from a field goal standpoint. Think about this. Back to one last thought on special teams. I mean, it is so vital in the Big Ten to have it as an ally on your football team. Are you making teams drive from inside their own 20? Are you making teams start drives from their own 25? Can you hang time it and squib it where it's that no man's land kick that Nebraska's trying or tried last year and they got burned a couple of times on it? And from a return standpoint, that is something on the other end of the coin that Nebraska has not been electric at from a return standpoint. I know Spielman's got a punt or a kickoff return here in his career. He's dynamic. There's also a lot of fair catches inside the 10 that happen that I don't think need to happen. You know, it's been a long time since DeMornay Pearsonell's been here returning punts, right? So Nebraska, can they be good? Can they be competent in special teams in 2020? And part of that work gets done here in spring football to get you set and ready to go for the fall of 2020 with a manageable first part of the schedule, a brutal second part of the schedule. And don't kid yourself, if Nebraska progresses like you want them to through the non-conference, into conference, and then into that death march finish, you're going to be in some 7-3 point ball games. If the offense is doing their job, if the defense is doing their job, you're going to need a punter to make a great kick if you can't grind it out in four-minute offense. You're going to need the defense to take the field, get a stand, get a stop, and force the opponent to have a long field to travel. Likewise, if you can get a play set up like the end of the Michigan State-Nebraska game in 2018, I mean, think about that thing, how hard it was to come by explosive plays and big plays against that Michigan State defense. You had a few scrambles by Adrian. He found Stanley a couple of times, but it was rough. It was rough in good weather. It was rough in brutal weather with the snow. And what you got Pickering able to drill one at the buzzer and give you a win. Conversely, the last two Black Fridays, I don't know how many drinks you spilled, but the Schmidt household needed to do the old steam cleaning of the carpet because I'm not going to point out relatives, but some of my relatives knocked their drinks over. They were not happy losing at the buzzer 2 years in a row to Iowa with pressure-packed kicks in Iowa City, and you felt it in Lincoln at the buzzer this year. So kicking is not a sexy topic. It's a relevant topic, and you have news today on that. Husker basketball, Fred Hoiberg is so thankful for this fan base. Fred Hoiberg excited about what the future holds when you look at how that roster can potentially look next year. But you bump into people and they're like, okay, is Nebraska basketball going to be any good? And I'm like, well, you know, this year's been really rough. Next year, I think they should be okay. That's my story. It's worked for beloved Cub fans for a lot of years. Well, there's next year. So this year, you need to stop the bleeding. You are beyond Band-Aid. You've ripped your staples out. There needs to be maybe some glue and caulking used along with staples. We're beyond stitches with this losing streak. Is Ohio State going to be able to come in here and continue the misery? I think you'll get good effort from Nebraska tonight. I don't know how good the execution will be. I don't know what Cam Mack's going to be like. He did practice yesterday, but if the dude's been sick and missed a game, as Coach Hoiberg said, we'll hear from Fred in a little bit. Fred, you know, Mac was tired. What's he going to be like tonight against Ohio State? And Ohio State, listen, they're 8-8 in conference play. They're still ranked. Ohio State's probably a tournament. I mean, yeah, they're a tournament team right now. Are they a 6 seed, a 7 seed, an 8 seed, a 9? They're in that window, right? A little bit of season to finish out. How does Ohio State close? They just got by Maryland on Sunday at home. Big win, top 10 win, impressive win. They have Michigan coming to Ohio State this Sunday. Michigan and Juwan Howard and company, they are ranked. This is an interesting sandwich game if you're Ohio State. You just beat Maryland. You travel to Nebraska. You're 2-6 on the road in the Big Ten this season. And then you have your rival looming. So, dare I say, trap game. Does Nebraska have enough ammo? Can they play a half a basketball like they finished the second half against Ohio State on the road, where they scored 43 points? They went 8-13 from three-point land. All those questions will be answered. Tip-off tonight, ESPN2. We're down here at Longwell's, Real Red Tip-Off. We invite you down here till 6, and room and cold beers await for you here at Longwell's down in the rail yard. Brandon Vogel's next. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
Back with you. We're here at Longwell's Hail Varsity Radio Road Show Thursday. Longwell's Real Red Tip-Off ahead of Nebraska and Ohio State. They are dismantling the ice skating rink. It's now a giant pile of snow. Skinnerd was blaring outside as I peek out from Longwell's into the rail yard courtyard. Of course, to my back is Pinnacle Bank Arena. ESPN Showcase tonight. Matt Walduck, Hail Varsity, reporting that he is focusing on school and club soccer. So two kickers down today. We will see if there's any more kicker news. We say hi to Brandon Vogel, managing editor, HailVarsity.com and magazine. And, of course, author with John Cook, Dream Like a Champion. Vogues, can you report, as any other kickers slash foot specialist left the program in the last 30 seconds?
As far as I know, if there are any kickers left, they're still on the team. But there's not a whole lot left to report on after today. Kind of a shocking day for Nebraska in that front.
It is. And what can you shed, if anything, on Pickering? I know health issues. Are we looking at a situation where the guy just wasn't going to be the same as his freshman year, pre-hip issue?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's kind of shocking. As late August last year, you kind of looked at that and thought that, well, Nebraska's basically set at kicker for the next three seasons, and that's kind of how this works. Kicking can be an all or nothing thing. You've either got one or you don't. And, you know, until it turned out that he was injured, which really nobody knew about until on the field before the season opener, we all thought Nebraska had a kicker and they were going to be in pretty good shape. Had the injury, it lingered, kind of never came back. Well, he came back towards the end of the year, and this coming today was a little bit out of the blue, and it's a tough one for Nebraska. You know, I know kickers are highly specialized, but it's an all or nothing deal. You've either got one or you don't. And at this point, Nebraska's got candidates, but it's hard to say that they have one. It's hard to go into the 2020 season with confidence that the kicking game's going to be okay.
There's a lot of things up in the air about what's going to be okay, what's going to be better for Nebraska in 2020. You get a chance to test drive many things: the quarterback race, defensive line replacement, kicking, punting. I mean, there's a lot of things to sort through here as spring ball gets rocking in 11 days. And, you know, starting the show off, I forgot Drew Brown, because he was really solid and good and dependable But Nebraska went about almost two decades with just kick butt kickers and punters, folks. And now it's, okay, can Contreras come in and be the guy? You think so? But let's talk punting for a second. I mean, who are the other candidates along with Pristrup that need to start pinning people inside the 20 like you're throwing lawn darts?
Well, I mean, I think he's the top one, and then you're looking at a handful of walk-ons, which, again, worked out for Nebraska in the past. Maybe it worked out so well that this sort of situation was always more likely than not in terms of that. But Pristup's the one who's kicked in Big Ten play, who's kind of been on this stage before. That said, you know, he didn't come in and take it immediately. So that gives you a little bit of pause too. You look at this and it's such a strange thing, but as Nebraska has kind of struggled or been a little bit, I shouldn't say struggled, but been a little slow out of the gate to kind of get this rebuild of a new Nebraska football program going. Special teams is a big, big part of it. Last year, you could reasonably estimate that it probably cost Nebraska between 2 and 3 points a game, which may not sound like a whole lot, but on a season where Nebraska outscored its opponents by a total of 3 points, adding another 28 or 30 to that makes a pretty big difference. And, oh, by the way, 2020 probably looks like that too, in terms of with that schedule, Nebraska's win total is probably going to come out between 6.5 and 7.5. And that's a really fine line. That's a lot of toss-up games where if you get two of them, hey, all of a sudden maybe you're looking at 8-9 wins. If you don't, you're looking at not going bowling again. So not to make too much out of two kickers kind of deciding something else is the best option for them, but Nebraska's got to have an answer here. And just right now, there's no ready-made one.
No, you're not making too big a deal out of it because it's going to come down to the defense making a stand in a coin flip game and getting off the field and forcing an offense to drive from inside their own 20. That happens with, okay, you don't get a first down, so it's time to punt it. Let's throw this thing on the sideline like we're playing college football 2001 and good luck. Or it's going to come down to the end of the Michigan State game in 2018 where awful weather, killer defense, snow's going sideways. You make a play to Stanley and Pickering trots on the field and, you know, on planet Hoth drills three at the buzzer. Conversely, you flip it around, you lose two in a row to Iowa at the buzzer. No, you can't make too big a deal out of this, as tight as the games are supposed to be and as rugged as the Big Ten is, folks.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, and we'll see what teams on both sidelines are by the time we get there. But you can just look at kind of back-to-back weeks on the road, Iowa and Wisconsin, and we know what those teams usually are. In terms of physicality, but also in terms of special teams, and look at that and say, oh, I think Nebraska is going to be good enough on both sides of the ball to where those games don't come down to a special teams play here or there. And there were two huge plays in both of those games in Lincoln this year, games that Nebraska really played pretty well in and ended up losing both of them. It's just, it's tough. And, you know, it's far from, I think, the biggest issue facing Nebraska as it kind of turns its eye towards 2020, but it definitely moved higher on the list after today.
Vogues, do we have you? Sorry, I got disconnected here.
That's good. Yeah, I still got you.
All right. Sorry about that.
No worries.
What? How did you finish? Because I'm sure it was riveting.
I was saying that, you know, kicking a special teams, I don't think is the biggest issue facing Nebraska as it goes towards 2020, but it moved higher up the list as of today.
It did. Brandon Vogel is with us, managing editor, HailVarsity.com and magazine at Brandon L. Vogels, where you follow him on Twitter. You read him, Dream Like a Champion. Him and John Cook put an incredible book out. Vogues, one of your stories in the latest issue of Hail Varsity is you go down and touch on conference recruiting championships, and you rank the Big Ten teams by position and who crushes it at quarterback, running back, wideout down the list. Is there a spot that you think Nebraska needs to get better at? And let me just, for the listeners, kind of reference Nebraska per your research and data, finished second between 18 and 20 when it comes to recruiting at the quarterback spot. They finished third at running back. They finished fourth at wideout, fifth at O-line, sixth at defensive line, third at linebacker, and right at fifth in the defensive backfield. That's where they rank. You have Penn State, Ohio State, Penn State rotating for the top spot. And as you'd guess, Ohio State pretty much across the board, aside from the running back spot, ranking number one in position recruiting.
Yeah. So a couple of interesting things. I wasn't that surprised to see Nebraska's quarterback recruiting rank that highly, and that's a good thing. So you'll take that all day. If you're Nebraska, I think D-line, I mean, it's the lowest one, and it's also the one that's probably the toughest to recruit, in my opinion. There's just so much competition for defensive linemen, particularly the, you know, high three-star and even four-star guys that Nebraska's most often after. So if you could wave a magic wand, you'd choose an upgrade there. I'd also put kind of defensive back in tandem with that. So the interesting thing about this is over those last three recruiting cycles, the overall like player rating for the defensive back that Nebraska had signed hasn't changed. It's virtually the same as from 2011, first year in the Big Ten, to 2017. But what has happened is that other Big Ten teams have kind of elevated a little bit. So defensive back, and this isn't a huge surprise coming from the Big 12, I don't think, is where Nebraska kind of gained a step or two on some of its traditional Big Ten rivals. And I think getting back to that is pretty reasonable for Nebraska. And if that happens, you can maybe offset the difficulty of recruiting defensive linemen a little bit. If you can't do that in the secondary, well, then you probably got to make it up on the defensive line.
Brandon Vogel's with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Vogue's about a minute and a half here. Does the streak stop tonight? Shy of a baker's dozen for Husker hoops. Ohio State's good and talented, but very messy on the road.
Yeah, they have been. I actually think it's a pretty good spot for Nebraska. So they're carrying around the weight of that streak. And they've seen, you know, the shocking thing about it is so many of those games have gone almost exactly the same way. So they should have a pretty clear idea of not letting up, not going through those stretches where they struggle to score. They're obviously not trying to do that. But so I like their chances. It's tough to come out and predict a victory against a team that, you know, earlier in the year was kicking around in the top 10. So, yeah, I think it's a good spot for the Huskers, but they're gonna have to play better than they have been of late for a full 40 minutes to get it done.
Vogues, how is your free throw percentage as a Bronco? 30 seconds.
even beyond that, career free throw percentage, it was okay. Rising, hovering around probably 68-70%. So always wished it could have been higher, but it wasn't an outright disaster. So which is kind of the middle ground I like to occupy in all things. Not great, not an outright disaster.
Not an outright disaster. I love it. Vogues, we'll talk this Saturday. Thanks for jumping on today.
Thank you.
There he is, Brandon Vogel, HailVarsity.com and Magazine. We're here at Longwell's, Real Red Tip-Off. You're invited down in front of Nebraska, Ohio State. Some NFL Combine thoughts. What's Tua think about his opportunity? We'll find out.
Chime in, 402-466-ESPN, or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you here at Longwell's, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Damon Barr. Find us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Damon Barr with two R's. There's two bars here at Longwell's. and 76 strong, always 76 beers on tap. They have incredible wings. Lauren was kind enough to swing by and say, do you want wings? My answer is always yes. Now, eating and talking at the same time, I can pull off, but it's no fun for anybody. So we'll have to wait for me to inhale the goodness that is the wings down here at Longwells. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Okay, we're going to spend a few minutes on the NFL. We'll hear from Fred Hoiberg coming up here, Nebraska, Ohio State. Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame basketball coach and former Nebraska assistant, with us in less than an hour. Joel Makavica will fullback trap us here in about 20 minutes. And Danny Burke from the desert will get your picks right tonight. So, Damon, I got to ask you here, what do you believe? The news this morning is, well, Tom Brady's out. He's done. He's leaving New England. Nothing official from the Brady camp, but of course, the talking heads this morning between ESPN and Fox are like, well, he's gonzo, man. People close to Tom say that he's done. Is this a bluff? We're not far removed from stories out from ESPN that, you know, Brady and New England were going to do a two-year extension with one of those years guaranteed. I don't think Brady wants to, nor is demanding to be the highest paid quarterback. I don't think he's out for blood there to be the number one earner at that spot, but he wants some guaranteed money. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a sticking point, 2 years with one guaranteed. Are they going to go shopping for him? And this is pretty vital here. I mean, mm-hmm. Whatever you think of Brady's age, the reality is didn't have a lot around him to work with, and the defense was great, but the defense could not win it. The defense played well enough to win. The offense didn't have enough weapons to score, you know, 20 to beat Tennessee. Is this a bluff, Damon Barr, or do you think the moving van is actually in the driveway somewhere off of the coast of Cape Cod?
I feel like if I'm Tom Brady, I try to stay in New England just because that's kind of his city, not to pull a Favre and go lose somewhere and then lose somewhere else. But I feel like the money is really the talking point here. I think he will be on the move next season. I don't think he's going to be staying in Foxborough. It's just a matter of who's willing to dish it out for maybe a quick win year like we see in the NBA a lot.
No, can you mortgage the future and go buy a winner?
Right.
And, you know, we hear the same teams. Is Indy an option for him? Is Oakland, check that, fine jar, L.A., an option with San Diego? I'm always going to call him San Diego.
Me too. That's what I think of him.
Right? As long as our friend, the quarterback, still has that 1980s beard, I'm going with it. The Chargers. Okay? The Chargers are an option. Las Vegas, is that an option? Brandon Vogel likes my explanation. I'm going full transparency as to why we dropped out during the Brandon Vogel segment. We have a conglomerate of beautiful people down here at Longwell's to my table to the left. And somebody's bag and hair got caught in our internet cord, and it pulled it free oh so briefly. But it was worth it. So apologies. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Damon, let's hear from a guy that could be the next great if he stays healthy. That is Tua. And Tua was asked, as you've had several different media sessions at the NFL Combine, whether or not he wants to come in and start, or if it makes sense for him to sit. Pretty good perspective here by the Bama quarterback.
As a competitor, I mean, I want to be able to play. But you look at a lot of the guys that are really good, and a lot of the greats. You know, they've been mentored, you know, by big time quarterbacks as well, and veteran quarterbacks. So, you know, if a team needs me to go out there and start for them, I'll do that. But if they need me to sit behind someone and learn from them, man, I can't see what's wrong with that as well.
Part of me is a lifelong Dolphins fan. Wants Miami to get Tua. Part of me is like, it really won't matter because their O-line's garbage and they're never going to be the Marino Dolphins. I'm a defeatist. Maybe Washington surprises us and they go quarterback again. And I know they went quarterback last year. Chase Young, we'll hear from him next hour, is campaigning for that top pick overall. More from Tua here, and he kind of lays out who he tries to emulate and why, what type of quarterback he wants to be at the next level.
I try to emulate my game, you know, after guys like Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. You know, I text with them here and there, but you know, for me, it's not so much what those guys do on the field that you know strikes me. It's everyone knows how good they are, but it's who they are as a person off the field. You know, and it's what they do off the field and how they go about their business in that way.
So, pretty good perspective from Tua. We'll see where he ends up. Not a lot will happen with him at the combine, other than interviews and the poking and prodding to make sure that hip is all good. Big Zach Taylor fans here at Hail Varsity. We love Zach. What he did at Nebraska has been great to us over the years coming on the show. And he's got a decision to make. And this is Zach. He was able to answer yesterday regarding the Joe Burrow, dare I say, controversy. Not controversy, but topic of hand size. And Zach thought it was a little comical.
Yeah, the hand size thing, it's a fun story. You know, it gives you something to talk about, but certainly been around a lot of good quarterbacks that have had what people think are small hands, and they've been really effective in this league, and so there's no concerns about that stuff.
And we'll skip ahead here to Zach's comments on Joe Burrow. What's the Cincinnati head coach think of Joe? Do you go get an Ohio guy, number one overall? Here's Zach Taylor.
Joe Burrow had a great college career, and he's been fun to watch as we get this process started. Really, that's where we're at right now, and I haven't even got a chance to meet him face-to-face, just like a lot of prospects so far at this point, but certainly did himself a lot of good to put himself in this conversation and put himself in this position, and he's going to be a great NFL player.
Here at Long Wells, Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Thursday, real red tip-off as things get rolling on ESPN2 tonight. 8 o'clock is when things happen. We're down here till 6. Get some food, get some drinks, enjoy, bring some friends down, and a couple of games left for Nebraska. And your chance to be part of it leading up to tip-off here at Longwells. We'll step aside. One final segment here, hour one, as we're down here at Longwells till 6. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here one final time this first hour. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt and Damon Barr as we're here at Long Wells ahead of Nebraska-Ohio State. Real red tip-off. Fullback legend Joel Makuvica going to join us. Jeff Smith next hour. Pride of Chicago's Danny Burke. And we'll give you a chance here at some DeBebe tickets here in a moment. Let's get some word from Fred Hoiberg real quick, though. On one of the bright spots here the last few games, Ivan Weidrago and the work he's done, and Fred touched on some of his improvement here the last several tip-offs, as he'll need to be big today down in the paint against Ohio State.
He's continuing to work on his perimeter skills. He hadn't shown that much, but he's gotten a lot better in that area with his shooting touch and that type of thing. So I do think as time goes on, just because of the amount of time he likes to spend in the gym and the work ethic that he has, I think he'll continue to grow as a player. But yeah, he obviously, you know, going against You know, Garza one night, Teske the next, Arturo the next, Wesson tomorrow. He's got his hands full. For a young player, I think he's done a really good job of staying with it, especially when he went through that really tough stretch. He had a very difficult stretch, which most freshmen do, but he weathered it, and now he's playing his best basketball this season.
Let's squeeze in a thought on Cam Mack. Cut four here from Hoiberg. You know, what do you get from Cam tonight? Game time decision, yes, but practice yesterday. What can he give the Big Red tonight?
Camp practice today. He was tired. There's no doubt about that. But hope to get him back, and hopefully he responds well to the workload that he put in today. And we'll have him back in the lineup tomorrow.
All right. So that's the latest on Nebraska. Line is at 9.5. Ohio State is favored. We'll get Danny Burke's thoughts on that. Crank it up as DeBebe going to be here the 11th of March at Pinnacle Bank Arena. Want to go see him? Real easy to do. Caller number 3 right now for DeBebe tickets. Caller 3. And get locked in for that March 11th show. 466-3776. 466-3776. 800-825-5865. Caller 3 right now. DeBebe tickets. A pair for you. One more pair to give away tomorrow. But a pair right now. Make it happen with Hail Varsity and ESPN Lincoln. Damon is thinking about going to see this. I might take Junior, but I want to send you, caller 3, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Want to go see DeBebe, do it now, caller 3. Reminder about drinking and driving. 1 out of 3 fatal crashes involves impaired drivers. Drunk driving, buzz driving, or high driving, never acceptable. And law enforcement officers working around the clock to stop with sobriety checkpoints and saturation patrols. As a driver, make the correct choice of a non-alcoholic drink or a pre-selected designated driver. Be smart. Start the conversation. Who's driving home? And it's brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. A timeout. Joel Makovica putting the old mouthpiece in and helmet on. We'll hit spring ball thoughts from Joel Makovica and a thought on some of the district action around high school this weekend. And, of course, Nebraska thoughts with Jeff Smith. All happens next hour. Hail Varsity live at Longwells, and we're presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hour 2, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Getting rolling at Longwells ahead of Nebraska, Ohio State. Let's do some football, and we welcome in a Hall of Famer and multiple-time national champion. He does not miss two-foot putts. Joel Makovica is with us. Joel, are you counting down for spring ball? How are you?
Schmitty, I'm good. How are you, man?
You know what? I need football to like,
yeah,
kind of creep back up, and I know it's been a dry off season, so we're going to talk football.
So the XFL didn't satisfy your appetite for football
Off-season? It's been okay. I don't dislike it, yeah, but it's not Nebraska football. I guess, the combine's going on, so paying attention to that a little bit and the draft around the corner. But,
I'll tell you, though, this offseason seems like it's went fast because spring ball's upon us, and it seemed like we just had the national championship game. But it seems like the offseason gets less and less, even in college. So, I'm excited for spring ball to get here.
I want to go back. Tell me about your first spring ball. What do you remember?
Man, you know what? I remember how physical it was and wanting to – you got acclimated to kind of the college football physicality and speed during your freshman year when we were on scout team and those types of things. But what I looked forward to in our first spring ball and what I remember is now we were finally getting to run our offense as redshirt freshmen or going into our redshirt freshman year. So we were going to be allowed to run our offense and get to do those things. Yeah, I just remember it being really physical, and the way we ran it and had scrimmages every Saturday. And then the spring game is, the first time we got to perform, as I'm talking about the freshman guys, got to perform in front of a crowd like that. Now, they're not the sellout crowds that they are today, but, you know, they used to be 40 or 45,000, maybe 50,000. So that was the first time we got to perform under the lights, so to speak, at Memorial Stadium. So that's what I remember.
You know, you spend your freshman year giving looks to the first team defense. You spend mm-hmm. your redshirt year kind of earning it and trying to get on the field. And when you were given looks as a freshman, I mean, who were you teeing off against? Who were you teeing off against that were, you know, future pros?
Yeah, it was our number one defense. So, you know, when we were on scout team, it was going against our number one defense. And at that time, you know, we had guys all over the roster that were unbelievable talent. Like Dante Jones was one of our defensive ends. Dwayne Harris was a defensive end. Eddie Stewart, you know, guys like that. Tyrone Williams, you know, on defense, D-lineman, you know, Kevin Raymakers and Terry Keneally and Christian Peter. So you can name a lot of them. And I'll tell you what helped me going into my first spring ball was when we were getting ready to play Miami in the first year we won the national championship in 1994. And we were scrimmaging. So what we would do is we would scrimmage and then towards the end of the scrimmage, it would be all them scout teams. So then we would run, and it would be full scrimmage, and we would run the Miami plays against our number one defense. And that really put me on the map because, there was a time going in against that number one defense that you could really lay some licks on the number one guys and get noticed. And that's what happened in that, those scrimmages leading up to the national championship game in 94 against Miami. And so that propelled me into spring ball and propelled me into my career.
So were you James Stewart for a week?
You know what? Actually, yeah, I did run the ball quite a bit because they didn't run too back.
No, it was one back, and it was 240 pound running back out of the backfield.
Yeah. And where I got the most looks is in pass protection, believe it or not.
Oh,
because,
wow.
You know, as the one back, you'd have to pass protect. And that's where I put Dante Jones on his rear end. And I can remember Corey Schlesinger coming up to me after practice. And he's like, I was standing next to Coach Solis. And when you did that, his eyes just lit up and Coach went nuts. And Corey's like, you're going to be just fine. And so that was kind of the story when got my name out there to where Coach knew I was going to be a player.
Joel Makovic is with us, Hall of Fame fullback, Hale Varsity Radio. That's pretty awesome. Not only to have Schlesinger, a guy that I would assume was a mentor and a guy that helped bring you along, but Coach Solis is so even keel. I'm trying to picture him getting fired up. I can see him smiling, but what's a fired up Solis look like?
I mean, slap Corey on the back and say that's what it's all about. give that smile that you know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. And that's the fired up Coach Solis. And so he would get like that every once in a while. And it was good, like you said, to hear it from, you know, a guy like Corey and the older guys when you're a freshman. And listen, when we were down there, I'll be honest with you, Schmitty, the mentality was be seen, not heard when you were young. And you got into a system and a culture that we had been winning for so long that when we came in there as freshmen and we were young kids coming into that program, it was the guys, you know, the older guys were basically set the tone, and you understood these guys know how to win. And these guys have been doing it. So I'm going to shut up, and I'm just going to follow their lead, and I'm going to do everything I can to do what they do. And so that's kind of what it was built on. And we need to get back to that, to where, you know, we have to have that foundation of winning. So guys come into this knowing, hey, they win here. So this culture is good. What they're doing works. So I'm going to get on board, and we're going to get on the bus and go in the same direction and listen to everything they say. And that's kind of how it was when we were there. It was be seen, not heard, until, you know, you establish that culture for yourself and in those winning ways. And then you could do that to the younger guys coming home.
You mentioned that culture of winning, and as far as the work ethic and the training goes, you look at Coach Frost, and he was a part of that same era you are, and you know what it takes, but you got to do it on the field, mm-hmm. and that we all think is coming. That being said, they need to have some success postseason, win a close game, win a big game. And they've won, you know, some big games, and every game's mm-hmm. a big game. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're not far removed from the Michigan State win
yeah.
in year one. You're within mm-hmm. an eyelash of Iowa twice, right? Iowa's an 8-9-10 win football team, and you played well enough against Wisconsin 2 years offensively. Defensively you, and special teams-wise, that's a different story. And, Joel, where are you at with this year? And it starts in the winter, and it continues mm-hmm. on spring, summer, and then fall, obviously. But as far as a bounce back, do you feel like things can kind of get shored up? Things can get a little more, all right, if someone beats Nebraska, they're the better team versus Nebraska shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah. You know, I think you touched on it, and Coach Frost was there at a time, and he speaks on this quite a bit, and everybody understands it, is he was there at a time when the culture was amazing, and there was a winning culture. And, you know, once you got to this program, you knew you were going to be immersed in that culture, and he needs to get that. And he's been trying to get that with these guys, and it takes time. You just can't come in and change culture in a year and in 2 years. So hopefully now in his third year, you're going to start seeing that change and that foundation and people getting confidence. And it's about confidence. You're right. This football team needs to get confidence and win some games in the Big Ten, win some big close games, and start a streak of winning so they can get some momentum. And this schedule is going to be brutal for them this year. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, what we continue to need is, and it's going to be, if these young guys, as far as offense and defensive line, can develop. And I know we say this a lot, and we always talk about, oh, well, yeah, it's one in the trenches. But in the Big Ten Conference, you have to have a great offensive line and a great defensive line if you want to do the things we want to do, and that's win championships. I think you can, if you have a good offensive line and a good defensive line, you're going to be able to beat the Minnesotas, and you're going to be able to beat, you know, even the Wisconsins and Iowas. But to compete and beat with the people we want to compete with, the Ohio States, the Penn State, the even going on, the Clemson, the Alabama, and being in those talks, we need to have our offense and defensive line developed. Because you saw it in the championship game, you know, with Clemson and these guys, LSU, and their D-line, and especially their D-line in the SEC, is amazing. And then their O-line is physical. So hopefully what I want to see during spring ball is to see these guys that they've recruited in the last 2 years, which I think they're high especially the offensive line, to develop and be the line that they think they can be, because I think they have other weapons around them.
Yeah.
I really do.
Well, you get the run game going and the explosive play element of it, and you grind people with some incredible athleticism. I mean, that's a great combination. Couple more minutes. Joel Makavica with us, talking some Husker football, is 11 days out from spring ball. You know, you're a guy that works in the medical industry, Joel, and mm-hmm. not asking you to put your scrubs on here, but let's talk Adrian Martinez for a moment. Clearly wasn't right. Coach Frost alluded to an off-season surgery. How much of Adrian's struggles last year do you think were in part percentage of what was around him versus him not being right physically, so maybe it took away from him mentally. And he gutted it out. He tried his best, so I think his effort was to be commended, but he just didn't look right, and he didn't see much downfield. You saw some indecision running the ball as well.
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, you saw him as a true freshman and the confidence he played with and how he played, and there were some pieces around him as a true freshman, but I wouldn't say they were that much better than they were as a sophomore, the pieces around him.
Sure.
So then you have to look at, hey, is it some sort of an injury that can affect you mentally? And anytime you play the game of football, especially at this level, you're going to be banged up. I don't know if anybody ever feels, you know, 100% after the first two or three games of the season, but you're going to be banged up. But it's just a matter of, you know, at that position, how much the injury, you know, affected technique and affects fundamentals. And then at that position, it can get mentally into your head to say, hey, I'm not feeling 100% throwing the football. Can I throw it down the field? Can I fit it in this window? If this guy is open by a step, can I pull the trigger? And I think those were some of the things that he wasn't able to do. But again, he needs to have time in the pocket to be able to make those decisions and do that. And that's what we've struggled with a little bit the last couple of years. But you know what? To his credit, the kid stuck it out and didn't complain. Didn't make excuses. He was there week in and week out. And so hopefully it was just a what they call a sophomore slump, and he understands what he needs to do to get his body ready. Hopefully the surgery got him healthy, and he can come into this year, stay healthy through spring ball and fall camp and through summer conditioning and have a year that, quite honestly, I think you expected it, I expected it, and Husker Nation expected him to have. Hopefully he can have this his junior year.
Last thought, Joel, and you're a guy who did really well as a starter, but also, I mean, you spend time in the league with special teams as well. How far away is Nebraska from, I'm going to go beyond competency, but from good special teams?
You know, I don't think they're that far away, and I think it comes down to depth on the roster. Whenever you see football teams with great special teams, they usually have quality depth that they don't have to play their starters on special teams to get the level of athleticism on the field. So I knew Nebraska would struggle a little bit because we hadn't had the depth that we needed to have to play at this level and the level that we've wanted to play at. So I think as they continue to recruit on these recruiting cycles, they're going to get more depth. They're going to get more development with the strength and conditioning program that you can get some of these guys that aren't starters, second and third team guys that fill these special teams and have the knack to play on special teams, and then that just improves the special team. So, you know, I don't know if it was so much of a coaching or if it was the Jimmies and Joes, and
sure,
we need to, you know, have those guys that can cover kickoffs. I mean, you need to have and usually a lot of the guys on the coverage units are defensive guys because they practice tackling,
sure,
they practice angles, you know, those types of things. And we didn't have depth in the defensive backfield like we should have. And so I think that puts holes in your special teams. So as we continue to develop these guys and have more of his recruiting cycles, I think you're going to see more athleticism on the field. And in turn, that makes our special teams better.
That's a Hall of Famers, Joel Makovicka, talking spring ball, Hail Varsity Radio. Joel, we'll get caught up again, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
All right, Schmitty. Appreciate it.
Gotta love the fullback's perspective. Joel Makovicka on special teams, on winning close games, and taking us down memory lane with pass protection the week of the Orange Bowl. Jeff Smith, Hall of Fame coach and assistant for many years. We'll talk hoops next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back here, Longwells, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Real red tip-off in front of Nebraska and Ohio State, an ESPN ball game tonight, ESPN 2. and lots of food and drink specials. I invite you down here to get settled, get imbibed, and then go see Nebraska try and take down number 25. We welcome in longtime assistant at Nebraska Basketball Hall of Fame coach with Lincoln Southeast, and just a good dude. We say hi to Jeff Smith. Coach, how's your Thursday?
It's awesome, Schmitty. How you doing?
I am good. I am good. We're going to get into some Nebraska ball first before we talk some of the district showdowns this weekend and potentially into Monday. And, you know, a 12-game losing streak. And, Coach, you've been on the bench a lot, and you've been part of some tough seasons. You've been part of some great seasons. And, you know, right now it sounds like the morale is still pretty good for Coach Hoiberg and his kids. You see some guys getting better. You've seen some guys hit a wall. How do you handicap this tonight with Ohio State? The line's 9.5. Ohio State's missing one of their big dogs. We don't know what Cam Mack will be like tonight. How are you feeling going into this?
Well, I kind of went back and watched a little tape of our first game with them, and what scared me is they scored inside and out on us, and they ran a little high-low against us, and they got the ball. They saw this was a little bit after the Iowa game. They saw that we were helping on the low post drastically, so they get the ball to the high post where really it's hard to help if you're spotting up shooters on the outside. It's really hard to help on the low post, so they went high-low several times, or they kicked it out from the high post to a three-point shooter. That's going to be really hard. If they do that again, that's going to be really hard for us to guard. And they are, you know, a 38% three-point shooting team led by a 6'9 shooter that shoots 42%. So I'm not real optimistic tonight. I think we would have to turn them over a lot tonight, maybe even throw some press at them, you know, after free throws or after some scores. I think we're going to have to turn them over 20 times to have a chance to win this game. And I think we turned them over 12 times at their place. So I did, though, Schmitty. I really liked how hard we played the other night. I thought Deshaun Burke, I'm getting some interference here, but hopefully you can hear me.
I
thought Deshaun Burke was just a thorn in their side, but I loved how much of a distraction he was to their players because he was playing so hard and didn't back down. And I just think, I know I talk about the past a lot. Back when, before we had our great season with Coach Knee, we went 10-18, but we never really got down because we knew we had really good red shirts sitting on the bench. They beat us in practice all the time. I think that's the case this year. We always played hard, and we didn't see the guys hang their heads much. And it was because we just could see future. We could see the bright side of things most of the time, optimistic. And I think that's kind of the way they are. They're getting great experience against a really good Big Ten schedule. They've got some good guys sitting on the bench. They're confident in their recruiting. Everybody gets a little stronger and tougher through the offseason. I think it's just optimism. It's what's keeping them going because there is a bright future there with a great coach.
Jeff Smith is with us, Hale Varsity Radio. And, Coach, listen, I love your ability to kind of walk Nebraska basketball fans through that 89-90 season. I remember it. We went, you know, as the Schmidt family to jump in the Oldsmobile. And it was a tough year. But you know what? 90-91 was awesome. It was phenomenal. You guys were
it was worth the wait. Yeah.
It was. And,
yeah.
And I think you're not far off that next year could be just big time. You got a lot of talent that is doing well in practice. You got Kobe coming in that'll work well. And then you've got some guys that have cut their teeth and have some experience. And they, again, they've showed the ability to keep grinding now. I look at Ohio State, and they're not good on the road. They're 2-6 on the road. Ohio State's also worst in the Big Ten with turnovers. I know Sparty's not been good with turnovers, but you hit on it. I mean, Ohio State's a squad that may not take care of the basketball. And then just from a scheduling standpoint, you just beat Maryland, and that was a signature top 10 win. I don't think Ohio State's on the bubble any longer. It's probably more of a 7-10 seeding potential for them. But they have Michigan looming. Does this help out Nebraska kind of falling where they fall right now after a big win against Maryland before you have senior day or one-and-done day at Ohio State with Michigan coming in Sunday?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's hard to play on the road in the Big Ten no matter what. And coming into Nebraska with our fans, if we can get kind of loud, our kids can gain a little confidence and turn them over and hit some threes early. And Cam can play, you know, some extended minutes coming off that sickness. I'm not saying there's not a chance. The line's a little lower for a reason. But it's also getting into tournament time. People are playing for a position in the tournament. Ohio State's, you know, they've won a few good ones lately. So I think they're going to have them fairly focused. It's going to be a challenge.
Jeff Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're down here at Longwell's, Real Red Tip-Off, Nebraska-Ohio State on ESPN tonight. You're invited down to Longwell's here before we say goodbye at 6. Jeff Smith with me here. Coach, I want to shift gears and take a look at how things have shaken out district schedule-wise. I know from a local standpoint in Lincoln, Pius will have a matchup, I believe, against Burke this weekend. You're going to have North Star taking on Gretna. Both Lincoln schools win that. Then they travel to Omaha South and Omaha Central, respectively. As you look at the districts and some of the top teams right now, first things first, team's got to win Saturday. But it's setting up for some pretty crazy finishes on Monday, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing you got to be careful of is looking ahead, because Gretna is good enough that they can play with North Star, and Burke is talented enough that they can cause Pius some problems. So you got to take care of business first with those. I think that Pius, Omaha South, Burke, Benson bracket is interesting. And if Pius can get past Burke, that could be a really interesting game. And really the loser of that could get in on a wild card if the other ones fall true to form. But I also look at that A6 district, the one right above it. East High could actually can match up with Prep pretty well. And then Grand Island is also in that district as the 2 seed. I think they could beat Prep as well. So I don't think Prep has an easy road. So they could steal that wild card from Pius or Omaha South, whoever comes out on the bottom of that one, as long as they're in those finals. And then, yeah, you know, with North Star, they have talent, they have tournament experience, but Central's a hot team. Central beat Millard North last weekend in overtime. They came back and beat a good West Side team, but we saw how good they were with their guards. And so North Star, you know, I think will get past Gretna, but then Central's looming on Central's home floor, and with Coach Behrens, that's a tall task for North Star and Coach Quattrocchi.
It is, and I look at the Pius team that is super good and talented and good enough to be in state. You laid out the wild card scenario there. I look at North Star, and, man, it would be a shame to not see them in state. I hope they get there as well. And then you've got Millard North, you've got West Side, you have Central, you have Prep, you have Bell West, you have Omaha South, you have Grand Island. I mean, let's – for fun, let's just expand the postseason this year, Coach.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and looking at some of the other Lincoln schools, Southeast got to play North Platte first, yep. And then they're in Bell West. Bell West beat them by 25 a couple weeks ago, so hopefully they can bounce back and challenge Bell West if they can get by North Platte. Southwest has got to play Omaha Northwest first, and then they match up with Millard North. And Southwest could... Coach Baugh could have them play the type of game where they could keep it close. He's good at that. And if they could take care of the ball against Millard North and just control it a little bit, they would have a chance. And I think Northeast could kind of be a sleeper against Papio South. And they got to beat Fremont first. And then it's kind of wide open with Elkhorn and Millard West on the other side of that one. So city schools, you know, have a chance. It's a tough road, but I like Northeast's chance to get to that Papio South game and maybe hang with them. They're kind of scrappy and can score at times, so it'll be fun here down the stretch.
Who do you think's playing the best right now? If you could circle one or two teams, you mentioned Central, how hot they are. We may see them. Who else has impressed you? I mean, we've seen West Side recently. We're not far removed from Bell West. South is talented, Prep's good. We've seen North Star and Pius and Southeast, and the Lincoln schools. But right now, who's hot? Is Central the hottest team right now? Who's next to them, if there is one?
Yeah, I'd say Central, and then I'd say Bell West is probably next. They won down the stretch big time and beat some good teams. And they've got a lot of good players. And when you have a lot of good, if some teams that have one or two good players, if they're kind of in the tank or they're a little nervous in districts, if they can't handle the pressure, then you're in trouble. But if you have three or four, or in Bell West's case, even five players, one can go in the tank, but the other four can carry you. And those teams with depth like that and tournament experience like Bell West has can be good. I would say like Grand Island would be my sleeper to sneak into state, because I think that they got some size. They got the 6'8 Trout kid. They got the Kong kid that can block shots. So they're my sleeper. But yeah, I'm looking at Bell West, Central, Millard North, because they're just the most talented team in the state. Those top three are obvious ones. And I was fairly impressed, like you, Westside's guards can play with anybody.
Westside's a lot of fun, man. They spread it out, they drive it in, and they either finish or they kick for three. Coach, I got about 30 seconds left. What's the secret to calming a team down when it gets to this time of year?
Well, you got to have confidence in your practices, and it really, I did less pregame hype stuff going into those district games, because they're going to be ready. They're going to be, they know this is one and done here time, thrive in advance time. So it was just business as usual, and maybe even a little less emphasis on, I don't have to go in there and pump you up. You guys are ready to do this. We've had a good season. Go in and play.
Jeff Smith with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll talk to you on Saturday, 5 o'clock tip, North Star and Gretna. We'll get that rolling, and excited to spend another Saturday night with you and do some hoops.
Schmitty, if people aren't watching Creighton right now, they should be, because they're playing some great basketball right now. And top 10 in our state is pretty special.
They are dynamite. Creighton's a great ball club. Coach, thanks for the time today. Appreciate you.
You betcha.
There he is. That's the coach, Hall of Famer Jeff Smith, longtime assistant at Nebraska. We'll head out to the desert next. Burke's Best Bets on the way.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back here at Longwells as Real Red Tip-Off rages forward. Excited with Nebraska, Ohio State. Let us head out to the desert. He is the pride of Chicago. He is with Musburger and Veasan. 204 is where you catch him daily out of Vegas. And we say hi to Danny Burke at Danny Burke 5 on Twitter is where you follow him. Pride of Chicago, how are you?
I'm good, Schmitty. How about yourself?
I'm all right. Our old buddy Tex, that's a faithful listener of the show, has done the dry rub wings down here at Longwells, my friend, and they're the they're titled Bad Idea. All right, if you do the dry rub, that's titled Bad Idea. We are going to towel Tex off here shortly. You have great ideas, especially for point spreads, covers, overs and unders tonight, my friend. A pretty impressive schedule of college basketball. So you've analyzed. What do you like tonight?
You know, Schmitty, I mean, I guess we'll just start with Nebraska and Ohio State. And we did a little segment today on the show. And it's basically one of the parts of it was, what team am I going to fade tonight? And I'm not necessarily saying this is the best bet, but I think Nebraska falls under that category as a team that could be a good one to fade, right? I mean, they're on a 12-game losing streak, and it's the first time in 123-year history of the program they've lost 20 games in a season. And, you know, Ohio State's coming off a nice win on Sunday versus Maryland. We know how good they are defensively. My main concern with betting Ohio State is, can their offense travel well on the road? That typically, you know, is going to be the main concern with this Buckeye team, but you're going against Nebraska, who just really hasn't found a rhythm whatsoever. And we've talked about them in the past, and they've had some gritty covers, Schmitty, but that's really been when the point spread's been higher in the double digits. You see it at about, or earlier at least, it was at about 9.5. And And now you kind of see it still dropping down to that 9.5 spot. It opened at 10. So, look, I get why there would maybe be some money with Nebraska being the dog at home, and the Big Ten home teams have done better. But Nebraska just doesn't fall under that category to me. And I don't know how they're going to stop the Bigs of Ohio State in this game. So I think I'd have to fade Nebraska in this spot.
I don't disagree with you. I think Nebraska, it wouldn't surprise me if they cover. It wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State wins by 15. And, you know, last time you met, there was no Muhammad for Ohio State, and he's gone off. Wesson's playing great ball for Ohio State. You know how thin and tiny Nebraska is in the paint. I don't know. Quite honestly, I mean, it's a great atmosphere at Longwell's. I mean, people always love having a beer and a burger or some wings. But, I mean, you can get seats for $6 tonight. I mean, Nebraska fans have been great. I mean, you're still getting 14, 15, and change at PBA for a 20-loss program. It's not bad weather tonight still. I mean, a lot of folks are saying, hey, do you want to go? I don't know how cranked up it's going to be tonight. The last stand will be Northwestern on Sunday.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know, like you said, at least the fans are still rallying around the program, which you know that's going to happen with Nebraska, which is why they're one of the best programs and most devoted fan base, right? And they know Fred Hoiberg is going to get it turned around. The expectations weren't high coming into this season. It just sucks going from the disappointment of football season to basketball like this. But you make a great point. And, you know, Schmidt, if we stick to the Big Ten here, another game that I do kind of like is if you go over to Ann Arbor with Michigan hosting the Badgers. This line's anywhere from about 6.5. It opened at 7, so a little bit of attention to the road team here. But we talk about Big Ten teams at home. I think this is a good spot for Michigan at home. The Wolverines haven't given up more than 68 points since January 22nd. They average about 75 points per game. They're on a nice 5-game win streak. I know Wisconsin's on a 4-game win streak, but really this Michigan team's kind of catching fire at the right time once again. They're now ranked 19th in the country. I think this is a good spot for them at home. And, you know, I don't trust Wisconsin so much on the road in this spot. They've been an inconsistent team. I mean, they're on a 4-game win streak. I'll give them that. And, you know, they've had some tough games, and they're a tough out. But I just think it's a great spot here for the Wolverines to thrive. And I would look to lay the 6.5 with the Wolverines.
Danny Burke is with us on Hail Varsity Radio, the Pride of Chicago, with VSiN at Danny Burke 5, the Pride of Chicago. Find him on Twitter, and you hear him on SiriusXM 204. So a couple of Big Ten thoughts. I love that. Where are you at? Are you looking at Arizona-USC tonight? Do you like UCLA-Arizona State? I've caught a lot of Pac-12 ball later just because I want to see, you know, what realm Bill Walton's in, and it's been pretty good basketball as well. Are you on either of those two games tonight? They're later tip-offs. Arizona SC follows Nebraska.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this these games a little bit earlier today, and with Arizona, for example, that line's anywhere from 5 to 5.5 with Arizona laying it. And it's intriguing because the favorite is 5-2 ATS the last 7 meetings, but the home team is 5-1 ATS the last 6 meetings. USC's on a 2-game losing streak. They got walloped decently by Utah. And look, it could be a good spot for Arizona, who lost in OT versus Oregon this past weekend. I don't necessarily want to touch that game, Schmitty, because asking a team to cover 5 on the road, regardless of what conference it is, when they're somewhat evenly matched, I would say, is kind of a tough task. So I don't necessarily want to touch that game. But the other one, like you were mentioning, Arizona State and UCLA, one of the experts on our show said he liked Arizona State outright on the money line for some good plus value. And Arizona State's on a 7-game win streak. UCLA's on a 5-game win streak themselves. But look, this Arizona State team is picking it up at the right time, and they've been consistent. So I would agree with him. I think Arizona State probably could win this one outright. If not, at least they're catching the 3.5, so maybe you take 3.5 on the road there against the Bruins.
Danny, any early looks as to favorites to win the national championship, cut down the nets? Any smart options there when you talk to ROI on crazy odds?
You know, it's funny because some of my friends from obviously back at school are, you know, the Jayskers, and they like following Creighton, and we talked about it on one of the shows. The other night that I was filling in for The Edge as one of the shows that night, and we were looking at who would you have for better value in the long run, and it came down to Dayton at about 10-1 versus, I think it was 10 or 12-1 versus Creighton at like 30-1. And honestly, I said Creighton I would definitely take in that specific matchup, right? I mean, you're getting a lot better value. And honestly, this Creighton team, you talk about teams hitting a stride at the right time, they fall under that category. But if you're looking more toward the upper teams, I'm not so convinced on this Maryland team. I still would probably trust
Penn
State a little bit more. And honestly, I think Michigan State is a team people might overlook just because how they've been struggling this year. But remember, this team was touted as potentially being the number one team in the country, right?
They were, and if they don't turn the ball over, they can beat anybody any night. I think Maryland's got top Final Four talent, but they are very lax and loose. I mean, they don't lock in. I don't disagree with you at all on not trusting the turtle. Danny, about 15 seconds, bud. You got a best bet for us? And again, tell folks where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at DannyBurke5, VSiN.com/subscribe for all the content. And like Smitty said, SiriusXM Channel 204. In hockey, I like the Panthers hosting the Maple Leafs tonight. Historically, the Panthers do well against Toronto. So go Panthers on the ice.
That is a best bet from the Pride of Chicago. Danny, we'll talk next week, brother. Have a good weekend.
Sounds good, my man. You as well.
All right, there he is. Pride of Chicago is Danny Burke. At Danny Burke 5, we'll wind down a Hail Varsity Roadshow from Longwells.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time, real red tip-off here at Longwells ahead of Nebraska, Ohio State. Tex, our loyal listener, is working on another Stiegel because Tex fired up the Bad Idea Dry Rub Wings. They have ghost pepper sauce, apparently. I'm going to send Tex over to Home Innovation Spas because he needs to relax. We say hi to Deb, the spa lady. Deb, can we get a hot tub down here in the rail yard?
We could. You know, I've thought about that. That would be the perfect place to display one. Really, there's a lot of places we could have one put up. So we need to think about that.
I would man it. I'll keep my shirt on. But I'm saying it would work well. There's plenty of opportunity in the rail yard to put a picture of Spa Lady, Deb the Spa Lady.
Oh, you
bet. And then have a spa.
Well, we do need one down there. All that traffic that would walk by that every day. Oh, my. We need to think about that.
15-minute
sure.
sessions. Jump in. Right?
Oh, we could.
Take a spritz.
That's a great idea. We'll work on it.
Ladies, off of 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, off Industrial Road in Omaha, you log on, spasonline.com. Deb, you got a lot of new options in, don't you, for 2020?
We really do. We've got the 2020s are coming in really about every day now. So lots of those to look at, the new colors, new skirt, the size, new lighting, lots of things to come in and take a look at. And as always, swim spas. You've got to come take a look at a swim spa if you haven't seen one already.
I have a picture of you, and we'll tweet this one out, of you in the swim spa. And you need a ladder to get out, Deb, because it's
like
giant.
I look like an ant, I think.
You do. It's pretty good, though.
That does give you an idea how big they are. So they're great exercise. Oh, my gosh. You can exercise year-round. It's the best, and it's a lot of fun to do.
You can get laps in. You can get relaxation done. You can do it all. Deb, if folks want to find you this weekend, and I know they want to come find you when it comes to state tournament time, it's state swimming weekend going on. So get a swim spa when you're in town for state swimming. But you got basketball for boys and girls around the corner. How do they come see you?
Well, we're at 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln. And they can stop in and see us. And, yes, boy, those swimmers out in those small towns, they're limited on where they can practice. This would be perfect for them. So come see us. We'll give you all the details, and maybe we can make it happen for you.
Make that a must when you're in town. Deb the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2, spasonline.com. Also, off Industrial Road in Omaha. Deb, we'll talk next week. Thank you so much.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye.
All right. There she is, Deb the Spa Lady. Damon, we're running out of time. Give me a prediction tonight.
I'm calling it Huskers get the upset tonight. You hear it here first. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm thinking 65 to 50, 59.
65-59?
65-59 Huskers. I think we're due a win.
Oh, we're due a lot of things, Damon. More rum for you. Ohio State 71-62.
More realistic.
Nebraska gets the dirty cover. We'll talk tomorrow at 4. Thanks.